time in Russia, and he was so outraged that not only did he shake the hand of a gay man, but it was photographed, that he told his security services to deal with him. So, yeah, that's the latest update from activists in Russia. But it's worth mentioning because it is not a pleasant place. And even now, in the past week, there have been new laws introduced in Russia, amongst the many wonderful things that they are currently doing as a state. The new laws officially ban any medical interventions in terms of changing the sex of a person. They are also removing gender markers from official documents, which had been legal since 1997. And they're also banning trans people from adopting. And they are annulling marriages where somebody in that marriage was trans. They are legally eliminating the existence of trans people in the state of Russia.
Are they removing sex and gender markers? Like, were they separate?
So, they recognize trans folks in briefly, and now they're just wiping everything like an etch a sketch. But of course, these are real.
But
people.
Are they removing all sex markers, or are they saying that your birth sex only?
Exactly.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but this is a reversal on 30 years of where they've been.
The precedent,
yeah. But like I said, they're not really the shining beacon of leftist liberal values at the moment, whilst engaged in an active invasion. So why don't we, on that cheerful point, pivot over to our next track? This one is called Over Before It Began, and this is by Kaylee Cardinal. All of our show songs this week are, as nearly always they are, from LGBTQ identified Canadians, and we're always happy to give a little bit of airtime to queer folks making music here in Canada. As I said, this is Over Before It Began by Kaylee Cardinal, and we'll be back just after this.
Everyone else can see it, the way I start to shine when you come around. I got one thing on my mind. You're willfully in the dark, but you can't deny. I step forward and you step back. This frenzy got me so.
Hello and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now, I want to mention Manny Healy of the 1975, a great British folk band. Indie band. There we go. Are you familiar with the 1975?
I am not.
You are not familiar. Now, I am certain we are not really a big top 40 kind of station here, but I should be able to find something by them just to refresh your memory. So the 1975, I think their biggest hit is probably About You or Somebody Else, or maybe Robbers. Let's see if I can throw a little teaser on for our audience to refresh their memory. I realized I just picked a 5-minute song and it was going to take forever to get to the bit that would actually remind anybody of it. So we won't do that. But anyway, it came up because they were in Malaysia recently. Okay. Now, they've had laws against homosexuality in Malaysia for quite a long time, amongst other things. It is literally criminal to be trans-presenting in any way. Anyway, so he was on stage. Now, Matty Healy and others have occasionally, from time to time, taken the step to criticize the laws of the land where they are and to take use of that stage. Well, yeah. He did. He was in Malaysia. He was there for a headlining a music festival in Kuala Lumpur. And it was a 3 or 4 day event. Bearing in mind, it's been illegal there for about 20 years. He was allegedly clearly intoxicated on stage during the performance. Bearing in mind, Malaysia is a Muslim country.
Muslim dominant country, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, So, but yeah, he apparently told everybody in the audience that, I quote, "I do not see the point of inviting the 1975 to a country and then telling us who we can have sex with." He goes on to say that he was furious and they made a mistake when booking the shows and that he would never have booked a show in a country where homosexuality is illegal, had he realized. And then him and one of his bandmates shared a same-sex kiss on the stage. Needless to say, he has now been banned from Malaysia, as one would probably expect. Furthermore, the 3-day concert, which had 2 days still to go, was then also immediately cancelled by the authorities, specifically due to Matthew Healy's comments and on conduct on the stage. But what has been really interesting is the number of LGBTQ Malaysians who have come out and said, look, you feel like you made a mistake performing here. That's fine. But by announcing it on stage to a very sensitive government to being called out on this particular issue.
In a country that does not have free speech protections.
Exactly. You know, he's going to be fine. He will leave. But it is the local population, it's local queer folks who are holding their breath to see if the government of Malaysia reacts to this critique of their reputation in a crackdown in Kuala Lumpur and elsewhere, and they were like, he has not necessarily understood the local impact of this, and it's been quite a debate as to, you know, is this white saviorism, that this sense of let me tell you why this is terrible. And make a big statement and this will help. And the local folks are saying, no, this is going to do the exact opposite of helping.
This is sort of an extension of tourist entitlement. Like, people often forget that when you go into another country, you are a guest in that country, and you need to abide by the laws of the land. You need to abide by the culture of the land. And if you're not comfortable doing that, you don't have to go there. Now, for people to come in and try to do activism, that's fair. All right. But you got to do it in a way. You got to do it in the language that the locals will hear. So getting drunk, going on stage and making out with a band member, that's not the way. Not in Kuala Lumpur. That's not how you do it there. It would be a lot more subtle. You got to, if you're going to do it at all, you got to break the ground in a way that does not make the locals suffer. This is, yeah, no, there is a kind of entitlement there. It is that sort of, like, you know, Hollywood celebrity showing up in some part of the world and saying, why aren't things better here? Well, first of all, you're a millionaire. You could just donate some help. But, I mean, it's everything about it is kind of ridiculous. I don't mind that they've been banned from going back. That's not how you conduct yourself.
No, and I think that there is, you know, I do see, and there is definitely a sense among musicians now and folk performers in general about being aware of the stage that you are on, you know, in this case, quite literally being aware of it, and where you are. Now, had he done the performance, left the country, and then lambasted them on social media, is what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. They can easily ignore the online rantings of a performer, even doing the performance and just walking off and leaving.
Crazy tweets get ignored every day.
Exactly. There were a million things he could do that didn't publicly embarrass the government.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it is a government that may not be known for taking things in a calm and measured response, you know.
They're not going to take it on the chin,
exactly. And it's not necessarily, you know, he's not going to suffer the consequences. And I wonder if this is something that we should be cognizant of worldwide, because this understanding of who could suffer the consequences is something that has been missed a lot, even recently, by the BBC. Now, did you hear about this recent case? The backlash to the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation.
Oh, there's backlash to the BBC all the time. You're going to have to be more specific.
I do realize I may have to narrow it down. So the BBC has officially apologized after one of their journalists was asking the national team captain of Morocco about... you know, and actually the question is here. In Morocco, it's illegal to have a gay relationship. Do you have any gay players in your squad? And what's life like for them in Morocco?
Now, is that a direct quote, word for word?
Yeah. Let me just break that down. Step one, in Morocco, it is illegal to have a gay relationship. Step two, are there any gay people in your team? I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh my days. As it happens, the team captain did not answer that particular question. And therefore, you know, jeopardized the status of you know, oh, just despicable, truly despicable. You know, it's worth... Yeah. I can see why the question came up, because this is... I think it's supposed to be like the most queer, the queerest, or the most lesbian of major sporting events that's happened in a very, very, very long time, if not ever, because of the amount of openly gay female athletes competing in a number of different teams in the FA.
Some of the highest rates of gender non-conforming, gender non-binary. I think there are two or three. I'm probably making those numbers up, but there are multiple. There's a non-zero number of trans athletes as well. So I mean, it is the queerest of
a topic, but at the same time, you know, you could maybe, you know, I would honestly expect better of the BBC, but if it was maybe a small local sports thing asking that question about You know, does Morocco have any lesbians on the team? You know, maybe ignorance is permissible here. But to start the question with, I know this is illegal. Are you doing illegal things? Is not a great way to start an interview now, with somebody.
If they're talking to like the Brazilian team or the Argentinian team, where they do have human rights and legal protections, we already know that the Canadian team is a pretty gay team. But like, if there's a team where you don't know if it's a pretty gay team, and you're talking like to Chile, and you're like, we don't hear anything about them, but here we saw the UK, Canada, US. How about your team? You know, if you're asking Chile, where there are no legal restrictions against homosexuality, at least not that I know of, and their human rights is generally pretty good on the issue, like, yeah, that's fine. But Morocco, especially if the first question is the fact that you might know the answer to this could get you in trouble, please answer this question. Like, I'm sorry. The BBC sometimes don't send their best.
No, it's really quite shocking. Now, speaking of sending their best, Miss Italy, the Miss Italy pageant, has announced that they will only accept female at birth contestants.
Okay.
So what do you think the reasonable consequence of that decision was?
I'm willing to bet that somewhere out there, there's a trans man who applied.
Over 100 Italian trans men have applied to compete in the Miss Italy pageant. Now, you know, trans folks come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, as do non-trans folks. Like, everyone comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, but there are a lot of what would be perceived as very manly men entering to compete in the Miss Italy pageant. Really, I think the point being made here is like, look, this is arbitrary and devoid of common sense. Like, you know, at no point in this pageant is the literal genitalia a part of the process. I love when things like this come up, which really demonstrates how ridiculous it is. It's like just a small smidgen of common sense is all that's needed. And in the end, we find ourselves with 100 trans men competing or applying to compete with the Miss Italy pageant. I mean, you can't make this thing.
It's kind of a how would I put this? Like a cheeky, sassy teenager kind of a response, but I still approve of it because, in the grand scheme of cheeky, sassy teenager responses, this one's actually pretty funny. I definitely approve this. This is a giggle for sure.
Yeah.
And why not? I mean, they know they're not going to get in. They know they're not going to win. But it's still, you know, whatever. It's probably just two afternoons out of their time and they can send a message. So, I mean, it's fine. I don't know. I think it's funny. I approve.
Now, we mentioned last week we were talking about being able to identify bisexual men based on their voice. Do you recall that conversation?
I do, yes.
Excellent. Well, the Journal of Sex Research has had a recent study. They were using the data from the Ipsos Mori 2015-16 English General Practice Patient Survey, which has 830,000 adults on it. So it is not a small survey. Sometimes when we look at surveys and they were like, oh, this was an interesting survey, and they were like, we asked 50 people. But this one's 830,000 people. And they found the sort of big sort of takeaway from all of this is that bisexual women were four times more likely to suffer from long-term physical and mental health problems compared to non-bisexual women.
Even compared to lesbians. That's actually really interesting.
Sorry, compared to the heterosexual patients.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know. It would be interesting to see. I mean, I don't want to say a stack, but, you know, like comparing bisexuals to heterosexuals and comparing bisexuals to homosexual women and seeing, like, what is the comparison there? I mean, I'd love to see that in a chi-square. That's a stats thing. Yeah, no, that kind of thing is really interesting when you see that. Unfortunately, it can help you identify injustices in the system, but it can also help identify other things. Like, I don't know, maybe there's other issues at play here, stresses, mm-hmm. or like the discovery that people have no idea what to do with, that gay men, more so, bisexual men less so, are more susceptible to IBS, and this is even before they become sexually active, so before you make jokes about butt stuff. I mean, it is the IBS is just in there at a very high rate, which is inexplainable. We don't know why. That's not really a structural injustice. That's just a medical mystery at that point mm-hmm. in time. This kind of thing is important and interesting to know because it can help us learn things about the general human body. The edges sometimes are how you learn about the middle. So the number of times you're like, I don't know, we study breathing patterns in sperm whales, and then we learn something about the human lung. Like, that kind of thing can happen. I don't know. This kind of thing is scientifically interesting.
It
could also reveal social and structural injustices in the medical system as well. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying the whole process of learning about this is very interesting, and I hope something comes out of it.
Well, they found that, broadly speaking, like I said, it was mm-hmm. like 800,000 people here. But broadly speaking, you've got your sort of your level of health concern mm-hmm. that your bog standard average straight person is going to have, which, you know, mm-hmm. just for the sake of our audience, is what, 9 out of 10 people? Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a lot of the average of the average of the most average.
Yeah.
They are going to have, you know, X amount of health issues. Lesbians, yeah. gays, and bis as a group are going to have twice as many health issues. Not every single one of them is going to have twice as many, but on average, as a whole, twice as many.
Oh, yeah. I have enough health issues for you and me put together and averaged up between you and I.
And a few more wrapped, you know, yeah, I'm sure we could lump in a few more. But then by folks, 4 times. And I think that's really what's startling here. It's just the scale compared. So what is it? You know, bi erasure only goes so far, you know, to explain some of this. But really understanding how is it that in 800,000 people, that the bi folks in that group are 4 times more likely to report health and mental health issues compared to their straight counterparts.
You know, there's a UK survey that was done a couple of years ago, and I really wish I could remember the source. I may have to look that up. That actually, they tried to find why men just, all men, heterosexual men, bisexual men, whatever, just men in general, go to the doctors less. Because the longest time they were saying stoicism and stubbornness and blah, blah, blah. And when they actually surveyed, they found that a lot of men didn't want to occupy space that they felt that somebody who needed it could take. It was that sort of like stoicism of like, I don't want to be in the doctor's office when someone who's actually sick could be in the doctor's office. I don't want to take their spot. There are these sort of indirect social issues that come up. And that's just sort of like, you know, putting others before yourself in that case. It could be something like that, something that we just haven't thought about, that, I don't know, maybe they are more likely to just endure the pain or more likely to not worry, or I don't know. There's got to be a follow-up,
maybe
basically.
We're not asking the right questions. You know what I mean? Like, who? It's going to take some.
I mean,
some digging.
By definition, we're not, because if we were asking the right questions, we would know the answer by now.
This is true. This is true. Well, yeah. Did you have any other stories that you were keeping an eye on?
Did I? I don't think so. Do you have any?
Well, I do think that there was a story coming out in Jordan, but I can't see where I put that one. In the Middle East. Jordan, the country, not Jordan, a man. I believe that there was some legislation happening there, but we'll keep an eye on that as it progresses mm-hmm. as well. Now, we are going to be playing out with our last track. This is called Somebody's Curses. This is the debut track by Somebody's Curses, mm-hmm. which is obviously a stage name for somebody who's been making audio for quite a while, but it's mm-hmm. a great track. It's called Bedhead, so I have been Luke Smith,
and I've been Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
distant. When your unassuming voice is caught and buried for its words, when you thought that I'd forget, some common ground seems worthless now, so I'll stay in the corner of your head.
From jail and imprisoning the police.